This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
6:02 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is out. To all the people that make this country go, get up and grind every morning, just punching in the clock. No matter what you do.
Yeah, we're miserable just like you.
No matter what you do, you keep it going, take care of your families. Probably somebody else's family in some of your cases.
I know some days it feels like rinse, repeat, and you're in the matrix. Like, didn't I just do this yesterday? Yes. Guess what you're going to do tomorrow? The same thing.
So put your feet on the floor, jumpstart your day with your boys. No, it's not Groundhog Day.
Phil? Sorry. No.
It's not Groundhog Day. Honestly, man, I mean, I respect those. A friend of mine, been working to one company for 27 years. 27 years. Yeah. That's respect, man.
Well, I feel the same way. Like the people on that third shift that work, like my wife's an overnight nurse. She works 12-hour shifts. And then the couple of days she's off the week trying to get her sleep schedule back. It's not even like having an off day. It's like... it's almost like when you're getting used to jet lag and you kind of got to recharge the batteries and then you get back and it's like, oh, finally a day off. What? I go back to work tomorrow? Damn. You know, but that third shift, that's something to get used to. But when you get your day started 4 a.m. earlier in that range, right. It you were right. When I joined the morning show and I'd done mornings before, like, yeah, it's a life changer. You're going to see some things. And I make business decisions almost every night. I want to watch this game. Do I want to sleep? I want to sleep.
Well, see, this is that time of the year where ain't no business decisions for me coming up in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, you just... Orioles baseball game on, I might not have a choice.
Yeah, look, that's...
because I'll be your last voice you hear.
The only thing I'll miss from an Orioles... I said this before, like, I probably watch 140 to 150 games in its entirety.
Right.
All year long. Now, give or take. You know,
that's a lot of games, though.
There's some games that...
that's a lot of games.
The West Coast games I have to make business decisions on, and those are usually the ones I miss. And if I'm being brutally honest, the other game that I might miss might be a Friday night if I make plans, because I always say this, Friday and Saturday games, unless something major happens, you're going to find out about it.
Right.
But usually on Mondays, we're talking about what happened the Sunday or the series. So... that's what I try to do and try to mix in family time. But with my wife working overnights, I get a lot of free nights to myself in front of the TV. What do you think I'm watching?
Well, you see, you talked about the West Coast swing. Can you look at your calendar real quick?
Yeah.
What is May the 9th? What day of the week is that?
May 9th.
Oh, you know, that's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know where I'll be?
Where?
Anaheim.
You mean Los Angeles?
Yeah. Check, what's June the 3rd, 4th, and 5th there, Jeremy?
That's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
You know where I'll be?
Where?
Seattle.
Well, you get to see Dave, right?
Yeah. Check June 6th. What is that?
That's a Sunday.
It's June 6th is?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on July. June 6th is a Friday.
Yeah. You know where I'll be? Sacramento. Sacramento, where you at? Yeah, that's where I'll be.
The A's, right? So that's where they're playing.
Yeah. Check, I know what days these are. I'll be in San Francisco the week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, lead up to Labor Day.
Can I give you some places
then,
to go?
And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll be San Diego. My point is, I'll be on the West Coast. And I'll be here 6:02 in your AM. 3:02 in mine.
Have you been to San Francisco?
No.
The stadium's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I have. I'm sorry. Okay. I've not been to San Diego. I have been to San Francisco. Okay. I was in San Francisco when Scope hit that, I believe it was a 3-run home run, to ultimately won, that's what the walk-off, ultimately won the game. Yeah.
See, I going out there, I got to watch the 1-0 Braves-Giants game where it was, I almost said Tim Lincecum. What an idiot. Who was it? It was Blake Snell and I think it was Max Fried, I think. Uh-huh. And it was 1-0 extra innings. But like walking around the stadium, seeing McCovey Cove, it's like, I don't know, it's just a beautiful stadium. And I know a lot of people try to compare it. I still prefer Camden Yards, but hitting a home run in the water is kind of cool. And watching the guys in their canoes out there trying to get it. But if you want some restaurants to go to, I've told people, when I went to California, 7 of the 10 best things I've ever put in my mouth, that I've ever eaten, maybe let me change that because people are going to misconstrue that.
No, they're not.
Okay.
Screw it right.
Happened on that trip. Happened on that trip to California. And there's one restaurant out there. God, I got to get the name of it again. I just forgot it. That we went to, which you walk in and it's like, it looks like a magic shop. Like there's all kinds of things and there's like a bookcase. You're supposed to give them something to drop off there. And then the wall opens up and then you go into the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Oh, it's called the Pawn Shop.
Well,
some of the best food I've ever had in my life.
The San Francisco trip is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? So Friday, I'll have to get up and work, but Saturday, Sunday, I'm going ham. And because that Monday is Labor Day.
Oh.
Guess what your boy did?
You take off the...
Take off Tuesday and Wednesday in San Diego.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get it in. Two West Coast stadiums I have not been to. Well, Sacramento, naturally, because that's new, but... The long-standing ones. I've never been to San Diego. I've never been to Los Angeles. I've never been to Dodger Stadium.
Really?
Never. I was supposed to go last year.
Now,
and something came up.
I know it's not something you want. Would you ever eat a Dodger dog just to say you did it?
What's it made of?
It's just a hot dog. It's hot dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's Dodger about? Is it bigger than a regular hot dog?
I think it's just a little bit longer. You know, like, I guess I'm not a Dodger dog. You got to go to Vienna to get mine.
It is different.
So what is it?
It's a 10-incher.
Oh.
Oh.
Yep.
It's a pork wiener.
Oh, no.
It's not all beef.
I can't eat that.
Okay. That's what I didn't know. Is like, I can't eat that. If it's just lips and a-holes or what, but.
Did they ship it from the motherland?
God.
A little bigger.
Lips and a-holes.
You ever heard that's what, as a that's kid, what, that's what they told you hot dog.
No, I know that it's correct. It's just having it described that way is disgusting.
Has anybody ever had a field trip to the place to make hot dogs? Oh. No one wants to see that.
Hey, what's
they
that?
Just want the hot dog.
I went to the Spam Factory when I was in Hawaii.
No one's been trying to convince me to eat Spam.
I never ate it.
When I was a kid, I did. Jess from Mix 106 is telling me how delicious Spam is.
She's a West Coaster.
I'm getting out of it because I don't eat pork, so I can go with that.
Yeah.
She has said Spam, sushi, Spam. She sounded like Forrest Gump.
Did you see
all the different ways to make Spam?
If you go to a hot dog where they make the hot dogs and you see their trash cans, that's what they take to the Scrapple Factory.
God, hey, man, I like Scrapple.
I don't get it.
It's disgusting.
It starts off gray.
You gotta burn it.
Brown.
You gotta crisp it up, burn it, put some ketchup on it.
Give me a slice of that block. That's what it is. And keep in mind, let me say this. I grew up dirt poor. I've had dinner that was syrup sandwiches before. So I grew up eating this stuff. Scrapple and eggs was a delicacy growing up. Little grits. It's just when I got older, I stopped liking it. I didn't like that. I used to eat chitlins.
Yeah.
Don't like it. Hey, you ever ate a chitlin, Joe?
No, I have no idea. I don't like. I know what it is, but I don't.
How you know? You ate chitlins before.
I wouldn't eat it, but I've seen it.
Yeah, that's how you do. Put a little vinegar hot sauce on it.
That'll make anything taste good.
There you go. Now, hell to the no.
Yeah, and you can't eat Spam either, Rob. It's pork shoulder and ham.
That's it.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I can't.
Well, a lot of people think now that the Spam they're saying is sizzle pork and And everyone's like, "Oh, I didn't know what Spam was. I didn't know it was pork." And so, it was like, "That's just something they made up. That's not. It's not an acronym."
Yeah, I
didn't know spam was pork.
People don't know, people don't realize that. They think it's the same stuff that it's just like, oh, random. It's not made in the same way as a hot dog. That's what I should have said. Yeah. It's not just extra parts.
Yeah, it's legit.
It's legit like pieces of meat. It's not lips and a-holes.
But the meat is pork, I don't want that. So I can't eat it.
You ever look at the end of the hot dog? I think that's where they put the anyway. Looks like one, right?
Shovels.
All right.
At 6:45. But on the other side, we're talking Orioles baseball now that we got people ready for breakfast.
Starfish.
The Mountain makes his return. How did you view his return? His first trip on the mound. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
The Big Bad Update from the Yard. On 105.7. On 105.7 The Fan.
That's the highlight of the camp so far in a big time way. Just the smile on his face and throwing 97, feeling great. And I know that another box checked for him. It's great to see him out there.
Now, the Mountain was the Mountain yesterday. I love what I saw. He got it up to, 97? Jeremy, you said he made a comment about by opening day he's convinced, he's sure that he's
that he can get upper 90s and maybe even hit triple digits. So
I don't care.
Yeah.
As long as he gets there eventually.
But I liked hearing it because it's just showing you how confident he is in what he's doing. And yesterday it just looked like the old Mountain.
He went six, with an inning, I'm sorry. Striking out two, walking none. No hits. A friend of mine, Tim, said he didn't like his body language at the strikeout. I didn't notice anything. Did you notice anything?
No, I think you're reading too much into it.
So you want me to tell Tim to shut up?
Yeah.
Shut up, Tim. Yeah, you don't know.
Shut up. What are you talking about, man? Sorry. Tim's probably a nice guy. No?
Yeah, he's good people, man.
Shut up, Tim. I don't care. You're nice. No.
He's good people. That's my guy. Tim once, I was super sleepy. I had to go to this event that was like in Montgomery County, and I could not. I was just sleeping. I was too tired. I think I had mass in the night before, and I was exhausted. And I was telling him how tired I was. He said, "I'll meet you. I'll drive you down there." He drove me down, drove me back. I just went there. I did my little hanging around, waving at people, shook hands. I said, "Let's go." He drove me back. So he's that kind of guy.
See, and that's the other thing is like, I don't need to get always tired tattooed on my face like Post Malone. You can just look at me and go, man, that guy's seen some things and hasn't slept in a long time.
There you go. There you go. So, that's what working people do. But going back to the Mountain, how much doubt did you have before you saw him yesterday? On a scale of 1 to 10, but 1 being a little bit.
I mean, I'll have to say 1. I mean, it's probably 0.
Okay.
But there's always that concern.
Let me change the word doubt. How much anxiety did you have from 1 to 10?
Yeah, I really wanted to see it. But again, exactly. I told you yesterday, I didn't care how he pitched, but you do feel better when you see him.
You've been watching enough baseball to know what you're watching.
Yeah.
You know, he could have given up a solo home run because he just grew one down the middle. I'm like, I don't care. What was the velocity on that thing?
Yeah.
So my level of anxiety from scale of 1 to 10 going into yesterday was about a 4.
Okay.
It's down to a 2 now.
I don't know if people understand, like, they talked about all these upgrades, and we didn't upgrade at this position and that position, and they still could have done it and brought Batista back, but the fact that Craig Kimbrell's not running out of that bullpen, and me going, how much longer am I going to be watching this?
You haven't seen the rat tail anymore?
Oh, God.
Back in the day?
And look, that guy's a Hall of Famer, but he was clearly done like 3 years ago.
And you know what I hate about it? He's one of the nicest guys.
Yeah, I hate trashing him, but
it's not trashing him. You're reporting what happened. You ain't making it up.
You ever see, you remember the clip of JT Realmuto and the Phillies when they called Matt Albers from the bullpen and you look down at his face, he goes, son of a bitch. Like that was, like, it's wrong that you got to read his lips.
Oh my God.
His fat ass running out to the mound. And he's like, son of a bitch, are you kidding me? This is who's coming out now? That's how I felt every time Craig Kimbrell was coming out. And then, inevitably, the first batter would get on. You're going, oh, my God, how is this going to go down?
And I felt for him because, you know, a guy like that is used to succeeding. He's used to dominating.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Can you imagine you get to the point in your life where you can't get people out anymore?
Well, let me rephrase that. He should be a Hall of Famer. I don't know if these guys are going to vote for him because you don't know what they're doing.
But no, you don't know. I mean, you just went from dominating to now. I can't get anybody out, man. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I mean, what do you want me to do, Skip? And now you go from that to...
Oh, this game's over?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Like, oh, he blew one? Get out of here.
Exactly.
That's all right, man.
I'm telling you, man, the day that he became the unofficial closer was 2022, and I'd been building them up to you and you there. I'm telling you, man, this guy Felix Bautista. Oh,
so to be fair, and again, this isn't me like trying to pump Rob up here a little bit, but like we were talking about it and the trade of Lopez, and you even came in here before he was traded, and not some inside information thing. It's like, man, that Bautista kid is nasty, and you know, like I think he's eventually the closer, and before you know it, Lopez gets traded, and everybody's like, I can't believe you trade that guy when you're in the middle of a pennant race or trying to get to the playoffs, and it's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Hey, Buster Olney, what are you doing if you're trying to win? Oh, look at this. They got Yennier Cano and Cade Povich. Shut up, Buster. You don't know what you're talking about.
Dude, 2022, up one run in the midst of that 10-game winning streak they had, and you had Trout and Shohei, and I keep forgetting the guy's name.
Rendon?
No, the guy that went 20-20 for us here, the second baseman. 20 stolen bases, 20 home runs. I forget his name, Hispanic dude. Anyway, they were the batters due up in the eighth inning. Now, Lopez was touted all this time as a multi-inning close guy, because multi-inning save guy, because he was a former starter. Remember that? He had several saves of two innings. No, not that inning.
It wasn't Iglesias or something.
No, it wasn't Iglesias.
I mean, he's a shortstop mainly, but he plays some second base. I'm just trying to think of...
They strolled Bautista out there, and I was doing pre and post that day. And I'm sitting in the Madison press box, and I saw him walk out. I said, yeah, that's the closer. It was right before the trade deadline, too. I'm like, he's the closer. Because if you're building Lopez up to be this a great option for your closer because he has multiple inning closes or saves... If you're building him up, isn't that the time to cash in on it?
Yeah.
Will you have the best three hitters in the lineup? No. Hod put Bautista out there. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you can fact check me, Joe, Bautista struck out two batters that inning.
I'm trying to see.
He struck out two batters that inning.
Trout, Ohtani, it doesn't even say the third guy he faced. It wasn't important enough to mention it with the other two. Yeah, you know, like, again, this is something, too, where...
I think he faced four and struck out two.
He struck out Mickey Moniak, walked Mike Trout, struck out Ohtani, and Renfroe flied out to center.
Okay. So it's Moniak, okay.
Moni. No, but, like, this is my point, though, when we talk about things and people have so much vitriol and want to attack, oh, this is the dumbest trade, I can't believe you signed this guy... Hey, why don't we sit down with the people that bitched about it and let's revisit the Jorge Lopez trade when it happened. Everybody said it was stupid and you shouldn't do it. And then you went, well, wait a minute. They got two players. Nobody saw what Cano was going to become.
No.
I mean, like, that's – you can frame that in your office if you're Mike Elias. Like, you know, I traded for this guy.
You know when he was born? Cano was born in 2023 in the series in Chicago against the White Sox. Was another series I had.
Yeah.
That was travel with them. He came in the game. I'm like, who's this kid? Who's this guy?
You look at his
numbers. And you're like, oh.
Six-run ERA.
Okay. What is your famous quote? I was unaware of your skills.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was unfamiliar with your game.
Exactly. I'm sitting there in the camera well, like, what are they doing? You got this guy and that guy and that guy. What are you doing? At the end, you're like, okay.
But again,
that's why I'm in the camera well.
Do any of those guys,
and not in the dugout.
Do any of those guys that wrote those articles, and the fans too, like, do they ever come back and revisit it and say, man, we went after them on this and we were really wrong? No, they just want to forget it and move on. But I'm sure they'll tell you when, hey, a few years ago, we told you this was going to happen. The negativity that happens in baseball and people wanting to crap all over things and not understanding that there's some guys in this league that are deeper thinkers than you that understand the game better and can evaluate talent more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how you go and watch a guy pitch that has a 6-run ERA and go, hey, we want that guy. Look at the makeup. If we move him to the right of the rubber or if we just tweak his delivery.
And that's what they do. This organization, this regime, that's what they do, Jeremy. They don't just say.
You don't see Albert Suarez is on teams. You don't see it.
No.
You don't see that. Sorry.
410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. It's almost baseball season, folks. And if you don't like baseball, you like warm weather. That's what comes with baseball, warm weather. So watch baseball. Shovels at 6:45, but on the other side, the Madison dispute has been settled. But what now? What does it mean for the team overall?
Thank God you know everything about this because you were there.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. What a jerk. On the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to the late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, let me clear up something real quick. That game I'm talking about, Bautista with the Angels, I found the box score. Joe gave us another game. Jonathan Villar is the former Oriole player I'm talking about.
Yeah, now it makes sense.
But I was wrong in that he did not face him that inning. He got out the inning before. He came in the game, Felix Bautista. He struck out Trout, the first batter, looking. Ohtani grounded out the third, which means he didn't get around on it.
That's a lefty batter, like dribbling down the line.
Exactly. And he struck out Ward looking. So both batters that he faced.
Well, by the way, in that lineup, those were their three best hitters.
Those were the three best hitters.
Taylor Ward, that was the year he came out and like kind of showed himself and said, hey, this is a good ball player.
And that game, that win, July 9th, 2022, Jeremy moved the Orioles to 2 games under .500, 42 and 44.
They still suck. Oh, sorry.
Now, you heard all the news yesterday that the Orioles and Masson, basically with the Nats, they reached a deal after 20 years. Nats will be on Masson on 2025 and then free to find another deal after that.
So since you were there, and where, maybe I can just take this, when the signing went down, because people are asking Rob, like, hey, what's this mean? What's going on with this? Like, he was there, like it was a Declaration of Independence, and they had everybody sign it to make sure it was okay that works for Masson. There's still a lot of unknowns with this, but the one thing that I think is clear, and you've brought this up, is that this is the first step in getting the All-Star game back in Baltimore.
Absolutely. And again, that's not... That's speculation because we all believe, many of us believe, that this dispute.
I'm not speculating. Rob told me that off the record.
This dispute was a big dagger or big hindrance, I should say, for the All-Star game coming back to arguably the greatest ballpark in Major League Baseball.
I don't want to add, you work, you know, for the company, but like, I don't want to sit here and kind of poo-poo everything and throw mud and sling it, but like, felt like the Orioles did Major League Baseball a solid by allowing this to happen when the Nats came here and everything that went on. And it feels like after a period of time, they're screwed.
Like, we don't like the deal.
Yeah. And then because of ownership that was here, which I think we all have to go back to and look at.
And a new commissioner.
Yeah, there were some bridges that were burned. Yeah. And there was no coming back from it. Because there's no reason when you hear this is, whether you think this is the best ballpark in baseball or not, it's in the top five at worst. There's no reason that the Home Run Derby shouldn't have been, and the All-Star Game shouldn't have been here with a perfect backdrop. You know, the Home Run Derby sucks, but watching it here, like, I would love to go to that.
Because you have target practice.
Yeah.
It gives you target practice.
Yeah.
You know?
So I can, what's that dude's name? Is it Zach Hample? So I can just kind of give him an elbow and throw his ass over the scoreboard there when he's trying to run around in the flag court?
And I'll say this. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, it does not mean you get the All-Star Game back, which I think it will. It shows me that now we're becoming a functional family.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're becoming a functional family. Let's do what's in the best interest of business, and let's move forward and stop having this dark cloud hanging over our heads. And I swear to you guys, that's all I know. I don't know anything else. I mean, it seems like some people don't want to accept. I don't know.
Can I tell them what you told me, though? Like, or, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to get you in trouble. One of these days, he came in this morning and he didn't MF me, but he kind of MF'd me about people asking for tickets. And I'm not going to get into the whole story, but like, Rob's obviously going to get asked for tickets because he has so many at Rob Long Sports. Opening day is not a problem. but the people that like that ask you for opening day tickets, like, they're so easy to get, man.
Or the people that ask me, you know, can you buy some at a cheaper price, and you buy them, like, oh, I didn't expect to spend that much. Huh?
Yeah, it's opening day.
I already got them. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I already told you. I said, I'll buy them.
I already got them. Too late. Black, no take back. That's a rule. That's a real rule.
I think I'm lightheaded.
Black, no take back. When I get them, you got to take them.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp.
Exactly.
Black, no take back. Get the hell out of here.
Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Well, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, man, I'll admit when I'm wrong, I have no problem doing it. And years ago when they traded away Lopez, and I'm like, what the hell are they doing? They got a great closer. Yeah, but you was right. That was an emergence of the mountain, man.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad. I mean,
didn't it kind of remind you of Rivera when, you know, like
John Wetland?
Yeah, John Wetland was amazing.
Yeah.
Just Rivera was amazing.
The stork.
He was the amazingest.
Amazing earn, yeah. Yeah, but it was glad to see my man back on the mound yesterday.
Oh, man. The thing is, like, knowing at the end of the game that you have that guy coming in, and you can pick whatever you think the best entrance is. I mean, I know how iconic the wire is, but coming out to that whistle is just, I'm sorry, that whistle.
The whistle.
If he comes around here again, whistle. It's one of the best, like, if you're there, that feeling when that comes on, even if you're watching it at home, and I know you don't get it on the road, but when they're on the road, you're like, we're winning this damn game. Like, he's going to be on the mound and close this thing out in somebody else's stadium. He's that good. And again, yeah, you're going to have some hiccups every once in a while. You're going to see some blown saves. It's just, don't turn into Clay Holmes from last year. Don't turn into Craig Kimbrell. God, everybody wanted him in the All-Star game after he didn't get chosen. It's like, you guys wanted him gone a month ago. Now you want him in the All-Star game.
And you know what I love about it? What Orioles did. The only trade that I can remember recently during that time in Baltimore that resembled that was when Eric DaCosta flipped Kari Vedvik, I'm sorry, to the Vikings. Did he ever punt for the Vikings?
Nothing.
And Mike Elias took 19 saves and spun that sumbitch into gold with a 1.68 ERA and sent them on to Minnesota.
Can I take you back to the Kari Vedvik thing? Because yes. I went on Scott Farrell's show, and he wanted to talk about like the Ravens' upcoming game. And I went, man, I can't believe you didn't bring up the fact that their backup kicker, you know, got rolled in a bad part of town. He goes, wait a minute.
Are you telling me one of the kickers for the Ravens got absolutely rolled by some hookers? And
he's going, we didn't even talk about the Ravens game. We talked about that for the whole segment, man. It was like that moment. That's the biggest buffoonery that any other team has done by going, we need to trade for that guy.
Exactly.
Like, what?
And it's funny because both Minnesota teams, they traded up to the Twins. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, you got Cano off of that.
Povich.
Yeah. And what he did, what the Orioles did was, I don't know what smoke and mirrors they put up, but Lopez during that time had a 1.68 ERA. Then he goes to Minnesota, ERA over 4. Then the next year, ERA almost 6. Almost 6. Then the next year, ERA high again. It just, what they did was spin that thing in absolute gold.
Yeah.
Jeremy?
I mean, look, it's incredible when you go back and look at some of these things. I think when you start talking about trades, the one gripe people can have is the Trevor Rogers trade. But I still go, like, I like Norby. We want to see what Sowers is. We heard those names for years. But at that point in time, they were blocked. And, you know, you got a pitcher for 2 years, one that damn near won the Rookie of the Year a few years ago and then had an injury. And if you're looking at what they've done with pitchers and fixing them,
yeah,
I don't have a problem with it. Those two prospects were never going to play here. But there are other people that say, hey, you could have gotten more for it. Well, how do you know?
Well,
how do you know other teams that
maybe
look
they
at
did
it
get more for you? You just haven't seen it yet. Maybe these guys are going to become more. I got enough patience.
But again, if that's your gripe, that one trade, get rid of Elias. Shut up.
Brenda Freeze will join us at 8 in the 8 o'clock hour. Ken McCusick in studio during the 7 o'clock hour. We have two segments because the NFL scouting combine, which leads to the draft, got a lot to talk about. But on the other side, we give it out shovels.
Yeah, and my shovel is going to – this is going to be an interesting one. It's going to deal with travel. Had something happen in an airport in the U.S. that I don't even know how it happened. Poor lady.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
The biggest idiots deserve the big, bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota.
And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Jeremy Conn, who gets your shovel?
Yeah, this woman at the airport. So she had to go to the hospital, and, you know, I never thought about this type of thing being in the U.S. I guess I did know that they had them in Arizona, California, I guess New Mexico and Nevada is where I'm looking as well. Very dry climates, and what I'm talking about are scorpions. I didn't think much about them being in the U.S. Not that I'm saying I didn't think they were here, but I definitely don't think about someone getting bit by one in Boston. How the hell does that happen? A woman was rushed to the hospital. An apparent scorpion at the Boston airport allegedly stung a woman who was arriving in Terminal E on Sunday. The woman in her 40s was stung while she was collecting her bags in the primarily international terminal. According to reports, she was transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Symptoms from the scorpion sting, such as burning at the sting site, drooling, muscle twitches, abdominal pain, cramps, trouble breathing, and then there's more that can happen. It sounds like a side effect from a depression medication.
Yeah.
Usually subside within 48 hours, although stings from a bark scorpion can be life-threatening. Officials did not have any other information on this, but, like, you think about the most random things.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, you ever do a Mad Libs where you fill in the word? It's like, I got bit by a scorpion at the Boston airport. It's like, the hell? I mean, how does that happen? But I couldn't, or I shouldn't say bit. You got stung. I always do this where it's like biting and stinging are almost the same thing. What dragonflies bite, I believe. And they're painful if you ever get bit by one.
Dragonfly?
Yeah. I got bit by one when I was a kid. Never forgot it. Some bitch. Damn. I knew why they called them dragons. That damn thing burned. But you ever been, like, I had a
stung by a bee. That's it.
I've been bitten by a spider. This is one of my favorite stories when we were in West Virginia. And we were in such a podunk area outside Green Bank, West Virginia. I got bit by a spider and my hand started swelling. And somebody said, we got to rush him to the hospital. And then one of the hillbillies there is like, it don't matter. That hospital 84 miles away. If he gonna die, he gonna die. Just put some ice on it. What?
If he gonna die.
He gonna die. Put some ice on it. Anyway, but it, you don't expect to get bitten by a scorpion at the airport, especially in Boston.
So let me get this straight. You have an attraction on your team. People come, they buy his jersey, they hang out, they love him, they adore him. He's a generational talent. You trade him, and then you raise ticket prices. My shovel goes to the Dallas Mavericks.
Say it again, with conviction.
They traded Luka Doncic. And now, they're raising ticket prices, citing ongoing investments in the team. Wait a minute. You didn't want to pay the man, so what investments are you making? Jeremy, are they trying to just piss as many people off as possible?
I guess. You want to raise ticket prices after trading away the marquee guy. I wish, and it won't happen because fans, like, I'm not telling the people of Dallas they shouldn't support their team.
But
they shouldn't support that team. Like, until ownership, like, that new owner there, the guy on the front cover of Mad Magazine with his big-ass teeth, but, like, and stupid-ass Nico Collins, who I can't believe people sent him death threats, other than me. I think that's ridiculous, sending him death threats. But the fact that you won't let fans come into the stadium and hold up a sign saying, why would you trade our best player? Fans are pissed off, man. And you go and raise ticket prices. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you guys have seen it. The Lakers got the number 2 seed out west.
Right now.
How's that win now going for you,
Nico? Were they number 5 when they got him?
They were number 5 with an arrow pointing down, Rob. And then Luka joins them. And someone explain this to me. Anthony Davis, one of the best defenders in the league, leaves the Lakers. How are they a better defensive team with Luka? They're shooting at a higher percentage, which makes sense because Luka's a phenomenal passer and draws so much attention, and he can shoot. But this team, the metrics are off the charts for him. I'm never going to say this probably again in my life. I hope the Lakers win the whole damn thing. I just want to see Luka smile ear to ear with that championship trophy over his head.
You got rid of Luka and you raised ticket prices.
Some bitch. How do you do that?
You would think they would, you know, let's keep it this way for a year. Hopefully we turn things around. Then we raise
the fan should be saying something that my dad said to me every day. Don't pee in my face and tell me it's raining.
Yeah.
And I was like, Dad, I'd never pee in your face. I don't know what you're talking about. But you're lying to me.
Let's go to Kyle in Sparrow's Point. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Morning.
Good, good. Hey, Jeremy, I know you're a Mavs fan.
I was.
So I was reading the other day, and I'm not too much up on the NBA stuff, but I was reading the other day that a lady bought the Mavs, and she wanted to move the team out of Dallas, and they said no. So she basically, the rumor is that she's trying to, like, ruin the franchise.
Yeah, to the point about ruining the franchise, and maybe that's what it was. Maybe she's trying to tank that and move it out, but why would you move out of Dallas? It's one of the biggest markets you could have in the league that's out of L.A. and New York, right?
Well, she's being promised by someone else. Sometimes it's investments. Let's say I bought the Dallas Mavericks. Some other city offered me a king's ransom for it. I move it there and sell it.
But you gotta get approval from the league that to happen. Like, you remember when the Major League Baseball owners blocked Mark Cuban from buying, was it the A's?
I think it was.
Maybe it was the Rangers too, but you know the other team it was? It was the Cubs that he was initially talked about getting in on, and then the owners didn't want him to buy it. And then he got into a bad, what is it, crypto, or what did he, I forget what he had, and then lost a ton of money in it. But he's still very, very wealthy, but he's only 5% owner of the Mavs now. So, I mean, look, as a fan, it's frustrating. I can't tell you I understand what it's like to be a Colts fan and watch them leave in the middle of the night. But I think I might understand it a little bit. To wake up in the morning. My son woke me up at midnight and said Luka got traded. And I'm like I'm still sleeping.
Are you smacking him or you?
Me.
Oh.
And then after he said it, I couldn't go back to sleep. I'm on Twitter going, did this really happen?
Like, my brother sent something. I'm thinking, my brother sent some random texts.
Mm-hmm.
To me and my other brother. And I'm like, come on, dude. This is not happening. He said, no, it happened. He said, click it. And I opened it up, and I'm reading this. I'm like, are you kidding me?
You know, like,
it's not April 1st.
So what I did was when my son came in the room and said it, I jumped on social media because I'm like, this has got to be one of those fake accounts.
Right.
Like, this is Woj and somebody spelled his last name wrong. Or it's,
you wouldn't know either.
Yeah. But like, I thought this was one of those, like, there's an NBA Centel, which I don't know if the Twitter got shut down, that puts out so much fake information and then they get national outlets to run with it. And I hate it. Like, at first, it's kind of like the first time it happens, it's funny. But after that, it's just like you're putting out misinformation. Like, what's funny about it now? Like, it's just dumb.
Kim McCusick joins us at 7:15. But on the other side, Darius Slay will be released by the Philadelphia Eagles. Jeremy, are you interested? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.